I'm Shamita Basu, and you're listening to The Takeaway. In the month of April alone, more than 20 million people in the United States lost their jobs. And the latest data shows that women, people of color, and low-wage workers were most affected by this crisis. But it's not solely because of COVID-19.
Those crises, those economic viruses, were already at work before the coronavirus hit.
That's Cornel West, an American philosopher and longtime racial justice activist. He says this crisis exposes long-standing problems in this country, especially around race and wealth. In this unprecedented moment, we got Cornel West on the line to hear his thoughts on everything from the economic situation to the upcoming presidential elections and the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. And he shows us where those all connect.
Well, it brings tears to my eyes. We are witnessing, very sad decay, decline, and deterioration of the American empire. It's very clear that our commitment to public goods, our commitment to our common life is so weak. We've got individual citizens who are marvelous and magnificent, but our institutions and our structures are so money-driven and so profit-driven. Maximizing in its aim that we lose sight of the needs of our citizens. And we see it in healthcare, we see it in government, we see it in business, we see it in education. It's a very sad moment to be alive in this country, and yet we hope we have bounce back. I think that we still have some bounce back left. This is not the decline and fall of the American empire, but certainly it's the decay of the American empire. We'll see how much democratic bounce back we really have. We're going to find out who we are as a people.
I want to talk about Ahmaud Arbery, the unarmed black man who was gunned down in a suburban neighborhood in Brunswick, Georgia. A grand jury was called to investigate, but that was only after very recently when a video was leaked, and the incident happened in February. Is any part of you still shocked that these stories are happening, that we're still here?
Well, I mean, any time an innocent person is gunned down, and in this case, of course, it seems to be a white supremacist crime, so it's an innocent black brother gunned down, I'm affected. I'm not surprised. I mean, the vicious legacy of white supremacy shot through every institution and structure, every nook and cranny of this country. So I'm not surprised in that sense, but I refuse to be numbed. I refuse to view this as routine. This is a crime against humanity, and we've seen this for 400 years in this nation. But the major problem, as you know, my dear sister, is that it's so easy to talk about it and feel bad for a day or two, go through catharsis, and still not be able to intervene and do something about it. And this is what makes me sad, that we see the cycle over and over again of talking about so many manifestations of white supremacist attacks, assaults, crimes against people of color, in this case, black brother. And that's just part and parcel of what it means to be in America. America is not a mature society that's concerned about the weak and vulnerable. It's a society that worships money and status and celebrity. And when it has time through philanthropy and charity, it might make some symbolic gestures in regard to this suffering and this misery among poor and working people. But it seems as if we just don't have what it takes. We don't have the cultivated capability to be a full-fledged democratic society concerned about all of our citizens, especially the least of these, especially the weak and the vulnerable.
Well, Dr. West, let me ask you about that repetition that you're talking about, because I feel like when a video like this surfaces, there is a very visceral reaction. It gets shared widely on social media, but I feel like something different seems to be happening this time around, where I feel like I've been seeing more and more people saying this time, please just stop sharing that video. And I wonder how much that has to do with the moment that we're in right now, with a pandemic, with isolation, with trauma. Are we all being re-traumatized and maybe over-traumatized in the sharing of these videos, or do you believe that there is a power in sharing them?
No, I think that you can't live in a state of denial. You can't undergo evasion or avoidance of the criminality in our midst. And so it's easy to say, well, let's not look at it. Let's not show it. In the end, maybe let's not talk about it too much. I've got enough on my plate. And yet, the only way you engage an injustice is to confront the injustice and then try to individually and collectively intervene and do something about it such that it doesn't happen again, or it happens much less so than it ordinarily does. And this is true in terms of, let's look at all the bodies around the hospitals. Most of those bodies disproportionately black and red and brown. But the press really doesn't focus on those bodies in those coffins. They're under the hospitals, on the side of the hospital. In the same way, the press doesn't really keep track of all the bodies coming back from our wars. No, we're not gonna highlight that. That's just too much trauma. We can only take so much. And you say, well, wait a minute now. I just think that we can't be a country that has grown wealthy and grown powerful, and yet we have not grown up. And when you grow up and become a mature nation, just like a mature person, you do not live in a condition of denial and evasion and avoidance. You have to learn how to confront the suffering. You have to learn how to wrestle with the misery and try to come out on the other side. And if we cannot come out on the other side, then we do go down. We do go down as a democratic experiment, as an empire. And sadly so, it looks as if that's where we're headed. We're denying ecological catastrophe that's impending. We're denying nuclear catastrophe that's possible. And, of course, with Brother Bernie, thank God that he's trying to raise the issues of the denial of the economic catastrophe, the wealth inequality, not just the crisis, but the chronic systemic wealth inequality that creates a crisis every day.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Bernie Sanders, because I'd like us to turn to talk about the presidential race. You were once a Bernie Sanders surrogate for campaign rallies, but when Sanders dropped out, you decided to endorse Joe Biden. I'm curious to hear you talk about Sanders' lasting legacy on the Democratic Party, on their platform for this year. And really, without a push from Sanders, will Joe Biden meet the expectations of the most progressive voters in the party?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, though, because I think endorse might be too strong a word, my dear sister.
Do correct me. How do you feel about Joe Biden?
But I'm part of, I consider myself part of an anti-fascist coalition against a gangster in the White House. And the question becomes, how do we get him out before the democratic experiment completely runs out? I consider my dear brother Joe Biden a mediocre, milquetoast neoliberal, responsible for, in many ways, along with Strom Thurmond and others, the largest, most vicious prison system in the modern world. That's what those crime bills going from the 80s and 90s did, and he bragged about it up until a few years ago. I consider his support of the invasion and occupation of Iraq a crime against humanity. You don't just go in and end up killing 500,000 precious human beings in Iraq and not have some kind of reflection and deep apology. It was based on lies, as we know. I consider him supporting Wall Street greed, going all the way back to Glass-Steagall, so that you can see it's hard for me to say I'm endorsing a mediocre, milquetoast neoliberal like Brother Biden. No, I'm calling for us to kind of hold our noses and vote, because he seems to be at this point, even though he's no friend of working people, he's no friend of poor people, he seems to be the only thing we can do to get out the neo-fascist gangster in the White House. That's what it is to be part of an anti-fascist coalition where many in your coalition are not really your friends, but they're your allies, in the same way almost like the United States had to join hands with Soviet Union to push out a gangster named Hitler, right, in World War II. The Soviet Union didn't become our close friends. They became our allies because we had to work together. Neoliberals who are of Brother Biden's ilk. I mean, I love them as human beings because I'm a Christian. But politically, they're not my friends. I have my back up against the wall. That's why I call for a vote for him as opposed to endorsement. We got to tell the truth about him, even as we recognize that he's better than Brother Trump. See, Brother Trump is just dead up, bad news, dangerous, narcissistic, xenophobic, tied to big money, big military, will do anything to project himself and will do irreparable damage to this democratic experiment.
Cornel West, Joe Biden has been accused of sexual assault by a former Senate staffer, Tara Reid. Biden has denied the allegation. What will you, Cornel West, be watching for in Biden's ongoing response to this and in voters' ongoing responses to this?
Well, we've got to give our sister space so that her voice is heard, and we've got to make him accountable based on the evidence. Now, of course, he is innocent before proven guilty, but we've got to follow through and based on the evidence, see where it goes. I don't believe it's shutting her down in any way, and I think that the Me Too movement is part and parcel of the progressive movement. And he has to be accountable and answerable and responsible.
I hear you when you say that your plan is to hold your nose and vote for him. But what do you say to voters, perhaps Bernie Sanders supporters, who are feeling disillusioned by Biden as the Democratic option and are maybe just trying to think of what their other options are?
Well, one, I think that despair and disillusionment ought to be our intimate companions. Given our situation right now, all of us ought to feel a certain kind of disillusionment and a certain kind of despair, but just not allow either one to have the last word. You know, the great Goethe used to say, he or she who's never despaired has never lived. And as a black man in America, 400 years of slavery and Jim Crow 1 and now Jim Crow 2, I've been despairing for the last 50 years, but I don't allow that despair to have the last word. I'm a blues man. So the blues man takes the despair and transfigures it into song, into life, deed, praxis, action. So that especially the young folk, I tell them all the time, I'm feeling disillusioned, Brother West. Good. That means you're not numb. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to do with that disillusionment? Are you going to be debilitated and no longer fight? Are you going to fall out of the political process in such a way that you don't vote in any way? Someone would go with the green folk. I've got a lot of comrades in the Green Party. I disagree with them this time. I've agreed with them before. Mm-hmm. They're still comrades. We just have a disagreement in terms of how we deal with this particular election. And keep in mind, voting is just one small part of a larger sense of what it means to be a citizen. And you try to create counter voices, countervailing institutions, countervailing cultures against the culture of big money, big military, xenophobia, losing sight of the humanity of Jews and Muslims and Palestinians and Arabs and Mexicans and women and gays and lesbians and precious trans and so forth, so that the creation of a progressive countervailing culture is a larger project. It's not just who you vote for. And so we remain part of that counterculture, even if some of us, like Noam Chomsky and others say, we hold our noses and vote for the milquetoast neoliberal, recognizing that we have to be not just rendering him accountable, but putting tremendous pressure on him because he's still tied to Wall Street. He still is part of the neoliberal wing of the ruling class in the way that Trump is a neo-fascist wing of the ruling class. We want to keep the ruling class itself accountable, and in the end, we want to fundamentally transform capitalist America in such a way that the almond Asbury's and poor whites in Appalachia are addressed. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's part of the larger project. You see, these are the kinds of issues that Martin Luther King Jr. was concerned about. Militarism, racism in all of its form, poverty in all of its form, and then materialism, and that's a spiritual issue. You see, right now, America has a spiritual crisis. It's tied too much to greed and contempt of weak and vulnerable and indifference to the others who are degraded. and corruption. And when you get greed and corruption and contempt all together, you've got a lethal combination that leads toward the collapse of your social experiment, at the collapse of your empire, and the collapse of your democratic experiment. And we're all at the same time. We are an empire. We're a precious democratic experiment within the bowels of that empire. And at the same time, like any social experiment, we can come and we can go.
Dr. Cornel West, let me ask you one last question. With so much inequality and unemployment and hurting and pain right now in the world, what's giving you hope?
Oh, good God. See, hope for me is as much a verb as a virtue, which is to say I'm in motion. Nothing is going to stop me from being in motion until the worms get my body. And nobody can steal my joy. I've got precious memories of Mom and Dad and loved ones and Martin King and Malcolm X and Fannie Lou Hamer and Curtis Mayfield and Aretha Franklin and John Coltrane and Dizzy Gillespie. Those joys can never be taken away. They can send you to jail. They can lie about you. And those joys are the fruits of the love supreme that you have for truth and beauty and goodness and for other people, love of neighbor. That's what it is to be a revolutionary Christian, in my own humble opinion, you see. And so in that sense, whatever the circumstances are, the fight, the spirit of engagement can never be snuffed out. It can never be suffocated. It can never be eliminated. It's a kind of defeatless despair, wrestling with despair, but refuse to ever be defeated. You see, that's what it is to be a blues woman and a blues man, too. And so in that sense, you know, I'm going down with a smile. I'm going down swinging like Ella Fitzgerald and Muhammad Ali with style and a smile, and pass it on to your generation, my dear sister.
Dr. Cornel West, I really appreciate you being here to speak with me. He is an American philosopher and racial justice activist. Thank you so much, Dr. West.
Thank you. You stay strong now.
You as well.